Welcome, everybody, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. We're going remote today, both of us going mobile this weekend. But Aaron, pretty exciting first weekend of college baseball. I know we had good weather in North Carolina for it, for the opener we went to as a staff. Most of us went to go see Wright State and Monmouth, an epic battle with personal cheese ball Pat Light looking good. You were all over the West Coast, so you saw several teams on the outside of the top 25. I guess the only top 25 teams you saw were UCLA and Oklahoma.
Right.
All that's already on the college blog. Let's just go. We're going to talk as we do every year in the podcast, where we kind of work our way down the top 25 rankings and also try to hit on in this shorter version of the podcast, kind of the big stories of the weekend. And Aaron, I guess really the biggest stories are right at the top. Two of the best weekend series involved our top two teams in our preseason rankings. Number one, Florida, and number two, Stanford. Both played ranked opponents. And while Florida is number one and they had a good series win against Fullerton and kind of an upset loss on Sunday, I think we would be remiss if we didn't start off by talking about Stanford, because I think Stanford's blowout series sweep of Vanderbilt is the biggest story of the college weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that was really, it was emphatic. They played very well, and we figured that Stanford would hit a lot. The reports we got in the pre-conference, when they were hitting their own pitching extremely well, the first time out of the chute, I think, 3 weeks ago, they put up something like 9 runs on Appel and Mooneyham,
Right.
It's, this team's gonna score a ton of runs. They're gonna be extremely offensive. The reports were that Appel pitched well on Friday. I think Mooneyham gave him a nice start on Saturday. Venegas, who we wrote about in weekend preview, is kind of a key to their season. One of the keys, he got hit around some. I mean, don't think he got out of the second inning. So, that's still a little bit of a concern. But other than that, I mean, it was smooth sailing. They got great relief from the freshman Hochstatter on Sunday. And,
that's Major Hochstatter to you.
That's right.
It's my favorite Hogan's Heroes reference of college baseball for a long time. There hasn't been a good player named Schultz yet, or Klink. I can't remember any Klinks, but Hochstatter is a pretty good one. I actually, according to IMDb, the pitcher's name is John Hochstetter with an E, and he's a freshman left-hander. The SS, the bumbling major SS of the German Army, he was Hochstatter with an A. So it's not quite the same, but obviously, the spirit is what got me going.
I'm afraid I can't go back and forth with you when it comes to Hogan's Heroes reference.
That's okay.
But anyway, Stanford.
Yeah,
there's nowhere to go with that. I'm sorry. Stanford had a great weekend. We did, briefly talk about whether or not we should swap them with Florida. But when you're the number one team and you win a weekend series against a ranked team, you're not going to lose that spot. I mean, it's just not how we do things, especially since Florida entered the season as, a clear-cut and undisputed number one. They had a significant lead over Stanford in our internal deliberations. I still think they're, a more complete team than Stanford because I think their pitching is more proven. There wasn't enough reason to swap those two teams, but I just want to acknowledge that people might be asking about that because, everyone kind of treats, not everyone, a lot of people treat the baseball rankings like they would treat the football or basketball rankings, or anytime you lose a game, if somebody else goes unbeaten, they should jump ahead of you. That's not how baseball works. It's a game of weekend series, and if you win your series, you're generally going to stay put.
Yeah, I definitely get frustrated when people talk about upsets as one game in college baseball. I don't think there's never an upset in just one game. Even in a midweek game, to me, for it to really be an upset. Anything can happen in baseball. One crazy thing can happen. I just don't think one game ever tells you really the story, which is why, the NCAA even acknowledged that. Everybody wants to have a one-game championship on television. But even the NCAA baseball got better at the college level. We went away from the one-game championship and went to the best of three of the College World Series finals. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that just has to be an acknowledgement that's how the game is played. That said, Stanford series sweep of Vanderbilt was the most impressive. Any concern for Vanderbilt there, Aaron? Because they also lost their fall series with Cal State Fullerton. And this team still has a lot of talent, but they clearly lost a lot from last year's club. I think we acknowledge that. They lost their whole weekend rotation with a first-round pick, the SEC Pitcher of the Year, and a really solid senior in Taylor Hill. They lost two or three of their top guys in the bullpen. Avery Moore was their single-season saves record. guy. Corey Williams was their moment of truth guy. Obviously, we believed in their talent coming in, but it sounds like they played a little sloppy, too. Just not a what gives you, or do you chalk this up more to just how good Stanford is?
I do chalk it up more to how good Stanford is, but also, you know, Vanderbilt is one of those teams that we ranked number 10 in the preseason, I think, based on where we expect them to be at the end of the year almost. I mean, I think that that's a team that we were aggressive with. I kind of thought there might be some growing pains. There might be it's maybe one of those things where they get better over the course of the season. But, I mean, you know, you've got, like you said, three new weekend starters, and to me that's the biggest question with Vanderbilt. Kevin Zomek, Tyler Beattie, and Sam Selman, I don't think any of those guys pitched well this weekend, and, you know, they need to be better than that. And Vanderbilt needs to play better defense. I mean, that was another thing that really stood out to me this weekend. I thought they were going to be a much better defensive team than they showed this weekend. So we'll see if that's a recurring issue or something that they get corrected. I suspect they will get it corrected, but that was definitely a problem for them this weekend as well.
And the one thing about the Florida series I want to touch on, one of their biggest strengths last year, Aaron, was their pitching depth and their bullpen. And when Fullerton broke through on Sunday, the big three-run homer by the freshman J.D. Davis kind of broke things open. It was against the Florida bullpen, and I guess it was against Steve Rodriguez, who obviously is back and is outstanding. We really like Steve Rodriguez as the Gators' closer. There are some less tested arms. You know, Anthony DeSclafani and Nick Morande, just for two examples, were two guys who, you know, had started SEC weekend series their first two seasons at Florida, were in middle relief last year for the Gators. Some very talented but less tested guys who didn't quite come through for them over the weekend against Fullerton. Is that, I don't know, a chink in the armor for Florida, or again, just more credit to Fullerton, especially a guy like Davis who was an unsigned fifth-round pick?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a huge issue. I mean, partly because you look at a guy like Jonathan Crawford, who came in on Sunday, you know, who's the first guy out of the bullpen. And we should add, first of all, as an aside, that, you know, Florida, of course, the way they treat their pitchers, I mean, we've talked about this before, they protect those guys.
Right.
And Brian Johnson only went four innings. He was on a 75-pitch limit. He was dominant for four innings, two hits, no runs, and then he took him out. I mean, they, you know, a lot of teams probably would have extended him more. But you know, they took him out, so that put a little more strain on the bullpen than you'll see later in the season when he can go deeper into a game. But, you know, but Crawford came in, and he was charged with four earned runs. But, you know, Sully said, I talked to Coach O'Sullivan this morning. He said that, Crawford, you know, he actually didn't pitch that poorly. I mean, he gave up one hard hit ball to Ivory Thomas, but other than that, it was, you know, a bunch of choppers, and he was 93 to 95 with sink, and he didn't, you know, he's going to run him right back out there. I mean, he didn't see anything really too discouraging about that. So, you know, that's one piece of good news. I like all the arms they've got back there. I mean, all those guys who pitched on Sunday in that game that they lost. You know, Daniel Gibson, Greg Larson is a proven guy who had a great year last year. You know, Rodriguez, who sounded like lost his poise a little bit after that home run and, you know, threw a pitch behind, the batter.
I think it was Austin Kingsolver.
Kingsolver, right. Yeah. I mean, that was after Lopez, I think, showed a little bit of exuberance, as he scored. And, you know, I mean, and it's, you know, it got a little chippy, and it was chippy all weekend out there, from what I understand. And, you know, I think that might be a good thing for Florida in the end. I mean, I think a lot of times we see that teams can, you know, they can develop chemistry from these kinds of weekends. And
I agree. I think it's good to be tested by fire in that first weekend series, and it sounds like they were. And I liked Rick Vanderhook getting his first win as a college head coach. I liked his quote that you had on the college blog, just like, hey, I would have done the same thing if I were them, you know? So, yeah. He acknowledges kind of that, like you said, that was just the whole weekend. It wasn't just that one thing. His exuberance of hitting the home run came from, he was really excited to beat those guys, you know, to get to Florida. And I think Florida gonna play with a target on their back all year. If they don't recognize that now, better for them to realize that and learn that now, going forward. But also want to remind people, it's the Baseball America College Podcast. And this year, for 2012, the Baseball America College Podcast is sponsored by ATEC, the baseball training machine company. At ATEC, they're committed to delivering tools to coaches to help train and develop players. So visit ATECsports.com to learn about training machines that can help make your practice more effective and efficient. See training tips and practice drills from Vanderbilt head coach Tim Corbin and more on ATECsports.com. ATEC, win every practice. And I would, if I weren't in a hurry, Aaron, I'd break out my Tim Corbin impersonation. I don't think there's any way I'll be as good as I was last night. But we're going to have some practices, some hard practices with our A-Tech machines this week back in Nashville. And we just played terrible this weekend, Aaron. So anyway, that's what I got for you.
You went a little more JFK-ish on that one, or Mayor
Quimby,
maybe.
That really is the basis of my Tim Corbin. It's JFK talking about college baseball. speaking of college baseball, South Carolina gives up, three runs, good start for the Gamecocks, more than 23,000 fans, I think, on hand at Carolina Stadium for the Gamecocks. They defend their national championship, begin the defense of their national championship. I guess the rest of the top 10, Aaron, the most impressive series to me was Rice, really soundly beating Florida International three times. I think you and I both think highly of the Golden Panthers. And the least impressive was probably North Carolina, giving up a lot of runs to Xavier, a solid Xavier program, but they gave up an awful lot of runs to the Musketeers in that one. Either of those you want to talk about, or any other top 10 series you wanted to touch base on?
Yeah, I mean, we can hit on a couple of these things. I mean, Rice, I agree. I think that was an extremely impressive weekend. I like the fact that, you know, their starters all pitched very well. We knew their bullpen was going to be a major strength, and their bullpen was, you know, outstanding all weekend. But I think Matthew Recklin giving them a strong start on Saturday was a very good sign. I think he's a real key for them. And then Jordan Stevens came in, the freshman, on Sunday, and I think he did an okay job. I mean, I think he walked some guys, but
Tanner would say that he battled.
He battled. Yeah, absolutely. He battled. So, I mean, their pitching's really good. I think their offense, came through this weekend. Jeremy Rathjen, great to have him back in the lineup if you're Rice. Had the big walk-off home run on Saturday. So we ended up moving Rice, Texas A&M, and LSU each up a spot. We dropped Arizona three spots because, you know, we were talking a few minutes ago about how in college baseball it is about the weekend series. But if you're Arizona and you lose a home game against North Dakota State, and those other teams all swept their series and looked really good doing it. That was one of those situations where, you know, we hit Arizona a couple of spots. I still like Arizona. I was encouraged by the fact that they got great starting pitching. Even the game they lost, I mean, Connor Wade struck out 13 guys.
Right.
And they lost.
The reasons that we liked Arizona coming into the season were borne out on the weekend. They played kind of the way we thought they'd play. Just North Dakota State, for people who don't know, now coached by Dave Schrag, a former coach at Northern Iowa, former coach at Notre Dame. This guy's a pretty good, accomplished Evansville, an accomplished college baseball coach. Obviously, things did not work out for him at Notre Dame. I think of him as kind of like the Franklin Pierce of college baseball coaches, and that's a deep history analogy. You have to read up your Franklin Pierce history for that. But the reason is that he's a good coach. That's a well-coached team. And obviously, at the same time, you can't lose at home for Arizona to North Dakota State. Not without poll consequences. So,
right.
Not a great loss for them. And like you said, I mean, the North Carolina won the series against Xavier. You'd like to see them, especially they started two freshmen, Aaron, in the weekend. Chris O'Brien, a freshman left-hander, worked his way, basically won his way into the weekend rotation. And Connor Glassie from the staff was at the game, and I guess North Carolina had a 6-0 lead in the game they wound up losing. And then freshman Benton Moss, who's on a full academic ride, couldn't hold the lead in the second inning, and five pitching changes in the second inning. Does North Carolina really have that kind of pitching depth like they had last year that they're going to be able to be that aggressive and that quick with their hooks with their starting pitching staff?
Seems a little excessive to me. I think at some point you just got to throw somebody out there and let them get out of the jam. But obviously,
they do
have
crazy depth, though.
They do, and they're going to mix and match. I mean, they did it last year. Every game with North Carolina, it seems like once you get into that bullpen, they're going to match up with you, and they're going to keep doing that because they do have a very deep staff. The reasons my concerns about UNC mostly involved the rotation, and certainly I don't feel any better about that after today. They gave up a lot of runs to Xavier, which is a solid A-10 program, but it's a program you would expect UNC to keep in check a little bit more early in the season here. That to me is something to keep an eye on. I mean, we moved them down one spot, but certainly we still like UNC, but that's something to keep an eye on.
Aaron, we've got a couple questions on the Twitter. Joe Lucates, of course, is a longtime BA podcast listener. Wants to make sure, he basically asks, this is a good transition, did the Terps pull a fluky upset? by winning 2 out of 3 at UCLA, or will they really be competitive this year? It sounds like it's a mix of both. UCLA played poorly, Aaron, and one of our concerns was the bullpen. Scott Griggs, who's like number 100 on our college top 100 prospects list, he's got a better arm than that, but his command has been an issue. Strike throwing ability has been an issue, and it sounds like that was an issue the game that you went to where he lost the lead in the ninth inning. It sounds like UCLA didn't play well, but it sounds like Maryland, this is a nice announcement to the rest of the country that Maryland under Eric Backich is really making some progress and is going to be pretty scrappy and a tough out.
I agree with that assessment, you know, certainly, completely. I think that, first of all, I mean, look, if UCLA plays up to its potential, I think they win that series. They, you know, maybe they sweep it. I don't know. But they probably win 2 out of 3. I mean, you know, the way they played this weekend, they should have won the Friday game. They were up 1-0. They left a lot of men on base. They couldn't cash in on their opportunities. And then Maryland scored 2 in the 9th without getting a hit because Griggs couldn't throw strikes. I think it's encouraging for UCLA that they went back to Griggs the next day. They threw him right back out there, and he worked a 1-2-3 ninth. He only needed 9 pitches and 7 for strikes, and he got the save. So, you know, maybe that's a good sign for UCLA. But, you know, I went back on Sunday, and the Bruins played really poor defense behind Zach Weiss. Maryland got 3 unearned runs in the first 3 innings, and, you know, that really wound up being all they needed. Brett Harmon coming back for Maryland is huge. A Tommy John guy that missed all last year. He was really their best pitcher 2 years ago. You know, he beat a bunch of quality teams in the ACC. And then, you know, he comes back on Sunday and he looked fantastic, John. I mean, for 5 innings, you know, they took him out after 5 because it's early in the season, but he, you know, he mixed 4 pitches very well. He's got a great changeup. I think he struck out 8 or 9 guys. And then, you know, a couple of things that impressed me about Maryland. First of all, they've got some depth on the staff. I mean, it's not real big arms. They have some guys that are 90 plus. You know, they came back with Jake Stinnett out of the bullpen yesterday, and, you know, they've got, you know, Sander Beck back there, but, you know, mostly they've got 8 or 9 guys on their staff that they trust. I really like Jimmy Reed, the left-hander. Got a great breaking ball. He's a nice guy toward the back of the bullpen. They've got a nice shortstop in Alfredo Rodriguez. And they've got some physicality in the middle of the lineup. Tim Keaney hit 2 home runs this weekend. Mike Montville's physical. I think KJ Hockaday is going to be a really good player. So there's like some nice KJ building blocks. I do like KJ.
Yeah, they were the number 25 recruiting class a couple years ago. They've aimed high and not quite gotten some guys like a Jadanian Williams or a Cito Culver. So there've been some high profile misses, but some lower profile guys they've hit on, where you really could see the talent level there. I mean, I think we had a lot of belief that Eric Backich is a guy who's played at East Carolina, a guy who coached at Clemson, a guy who's been an assistant coach at Vanderbilt. The resume and the pedigree was there for him to be able to turn this program around that hasn't been a regional since 1971, that's had like 3 winning seasons in the last 40 years. So you could see on paper that it would make sense that Eric Backich could turn this program around, but I don't think we all realize just how hard it is for Maryland, or weather disadvantage to the rest of the league. The athletic program has some serious financial problems there. And the field, they really need a new field. There's no other way to put it. They need a new home ballpark. Forget facilities. They need a ballpark. They need a place to play. So that field that's made famous by Marshall McDougal hitting 6 home runs there in 1 game when he's at Florida State. So it's a pretty epic, I think, series win for Maryland. So props to those guys. And then, you know, UCLA drops, what did we drop them? 7, 8 spots?
Mike, you dropped 9 spots.
Eight spots.
Yeah, you're right.
That's quite a bit. And Wiley Ballard, Atlanta Fanatic, at Atlanta Fanatic on Twitter, he asks, how significant was Georgia Tech's loss to Kent? Dusty Isaac got the Sunday spot, and he thought that Zane Evans looked great on the mound. I think the emphasis there, Aaron, is that Kent State and Georgia Tech play regularly. So Kent State's not intimidated ever when they go in there and play Georgia Tech. And Kent State, as usual, Scott Strickland, former Georgia Tech assistant, he's got some nice pitchers on hand, and Mike Birkbeck, his pitching coach, he just knows what he's doing, and they've got arms this year.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Kent State's a quality program year after year. They, you know, they're always, it seems like, at the top of the MAC, and they have legitimate talent there. And, you know, I think they do a great job. identifying and developing talent there, you know, this weekend you saw it in that first game against Georgia Tech. They got a great start from their ace, Starn, who, you know, went 8 shutout innings and struck out 9, and he's good. I mean, he's a quality, you know, polished college ace who's going to win a lot of games for them this year.
Yeah, I agree. I like Kent State. They're our MAC preseason favorite, if memory serves, and just really think that that's a series that's good for Georgia Tech because that's a team that does not ever come in intimidated. And you know, Georgia Tech and Georgia Tech and UCLA in my head are very similar. UCLA broke through obviously a couple of years ago and got to Omaha, got to the College Series Finals, but more often than not, those two programs are underachieved relative to their level of pro talent. There's no other way to say it.
Right.
Yeah, that's just been their track records, and I respect both coaching staffs. And but one thing I'll say for Georgia Tech that really stands out, they had two straight first-round picks, and Deck McGuire and Jed Bradley, who were undrafted out of high school, who really emerged in college at Georgia Tech and became first-rounders. That needs to be pointed out. You know, Georgia Tech doesn't just get highly recruited players. They get players who really weren't highly recruited and makes them better, and yet they still can't put things together on the field up to a level where, you know, observers like us think that they should on a consistent basis. They're held to a very high standard, and they haven't quite lived up to that. But I think there's no shame in losing to Kent State. That was a long way of saying that.
Right,
to me,
right.
There's no shame in losing to Kent State. Aaron, let's wrap up. Go ahead.
That was just say, that seems like an appropriate place to transition to maybe one final talking point, and that's just another team that we brought in. The one team we brought into the rankings this week is Baylor. And, you know,
that's where I was headed.
In some ways, they've got kind of a similar track record as other
Absolutely.
Two teams.
Absolutely. Baylor is, you got your East Coast version in Georgia Tech, your West Coast version in UCLA, and your Central version really kind of would be Baylor, which has broken through once to Omaha under Steve Smith, but they've had some pretty highly ranked teams. Of course, they had that recruiting class, the Sean Tolleson recruting class in my head, where they just
Dr.
couldn't
Dickerson,
quite.
Dickerson, you know, Miller, those guys.
And they couldn't quite put things together, and yet, you know, Sean Tolleson gets the Pro Bowl, and this guy tore it up with the Double A last year with the Dodgers. He might be in the big leagues with the Dodgers in their bullpen this year. And that guy really, the talent was there. It's still there. It just didn't come together for him while he was at Baylor. But they sweep Oral Roberts, an Oral Roberts team that did lose some guys, Aaron, but still still Oral Roberts, a team that's battle tested. That usually has really good junior college recruits. I think we trust Coach Cooper is going to bring in good players, because the track record of Oral Roberts is they've been the regionals about like 14 years in a row. So what did Baylor do right, and what has Baylor got going for it?
Well, you know, I think Baylor is just a pretty balanced team. I mean, I like their lineup quite a bit. They've got a lot of experience in their lineup. They had some new faces in the lineup too this weekend that maybe I wasn't expecting to see, but you know, I think Nathan Orff is a good example
and a great name.
But, you know, this team to me is, you know, unlike maybe the team 3 or 4 years ago that had all those highly recruited guys, this team, you know, they've got some more blue collar guys, some really good college players, some winners that play the game hard. And, you know, I think it's a good makeup. And I like the Max Muncies and the, Logan Vicks. You know, those guys are in the middle of the lineup are really good players. Cal Tui and, you know, it's a nice core. The main reason we didn't rank them in the preseason was I wanted to see what kind of, how their pitching would perform. And I thought it was great to see Brad Kuntz give them a strong start on Sunday. We know that Josh Turley is a really good, Friday guy. Let's see what Max Garner can do on Saturday. He didn't have a great outing. He was okay. But, you know, if the pitching holds up, I think Baylor could be pretty good.
Yeah, there's definitely pitching depth there. I think it's a matter of sorting out kind of those roles and people settling into some of those roles. But certainly Baylor's lineup, I think, looks strong. Muncy's about as good of a veteran, middle-of-the-order guy. He's had college success. He's physical. He's a pro guy. The guy just hits. I think he's a guy that we're really looking at draft-wise. I guess next year he's a sophomore, correct?
He's a junior.
I think, you're looking for a left-handed hitting first baseman at the college level. He's one of the guys you're going to look at. I mean, he's not as high on the radar as maybe a Preston Tucker, I know, plays outfield, or Brian Johnson. They're the two guys of Florida, but Max Muncy's a really good, solid college hitter with some now strength. So he's kind of he's my pick to click on that team. Of course, I'm always going to be partial to Joey Haynes further. I can't lie. I always love my goofy Baylor names going all the way down to Preston Underdown in the end of the 20th century, which is one of my all-time favorite names. And of course, Zane Carlson, one of my all-time favorite players. I think Zane listens to the podcast still, and he was a sidearm closer. Of course, I love Zane Carlson.
That's right.
And Fitzy, where are you at coming up this week? What are you going to see in week two of the college baseball season?
We got a really busy, exciting slate out here on the West Coast. I'm sure I'll see Baylor one of those days at UCLA. We've got TCU's at Cal State Fullerton. Cal's going to be at Long Beach. I think there's a tournament down in San Diego that has, I believe, Oregon State, Kansas State's down there. So I have to sort all that out, but there's plenty of exciting action on the docket here.
Good grief. You got a lot of baseball to see there this weekend, but it was awesome to be back out there. Beautiful. It's just a tremendous time of year for us to have college baseball back. I think next weekend in our area, we got Purdue, which went 3-0 in the Big East Big Ten Challenge, which was exciting to see the preseason favorite live up to some of that. They're coming to the Triangle area next weekend, and I think we've got some of the Baseball America staffers might be traipsing up to Charlottesville next weekend to see Monmouth in Virginia. We're on the Monmouth Trail, apparently. Who knew?
I guess so.
But I think more to see Virginia. But great stuff, Aaron. This is a shorter podcast. We'll go a little bit longer the rest of the year, obviously. But first week of the year, both of us, especially me on the road, we're going to keep this a little bit shorter. But obviously the college podcast will roll on every week during the college season on Monday. And is brought to you, sponsored by ATEC, the baseball training machine company. At ATEC, we're committed to delivering tools to coaches to help train and develop players. Visit ATECsports.com to learn about training machines that can help make your practices more effective and efficient. See training tips and practice drills from Vanderbilt head coach Tim Corbin and more on ATECsports.com. ATEC, win every practice. So, Aaron, we got great questions also on Twitter. Remember, if you want to hit up Aaron on Twitter, @AaronFitt, I'm @JohnManuelBA, and this has been the Baseball America Podcast. So long, everybody.